No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Russian economy, much in the news because of sanctions, because of the troubles in Ukraine, and because the general assumption that the sanctions visited upon Russia many years ago, beginning with the annexation of Crimea, those sanctions tightened and enforced would oblige Russia to change its course. But I learned from Ekaterina Zolotova for Geopolitical Futures, writing from Moscow, that the Russian economy outperformed in 2022. And the reasons for it are revelatory of how sanctions work, how countries that live with sanctions learn to deal with them, and what about the future. Ekaterina, a very good evening to you. The price of energy is determinative for the Russian economy. What about 2022 surprised the world as the economy survived those severe sanctions? Why? How did they do it? Good evening to you.
Good evening, and I will start my discussion with a little bit historic overview. First of all, we should remember that Russia has survived several crises, and of course, Russia has get some experience from this. The major three points that Russian government understand that in order to be afloat, the economy should have a very low debt, foreign debt, to have very good reserves as money, as currency, as gold, for example, and of course the inflation. Inflation shouldn't be very high. So keeping these three rules, Russian economy survived the previous year. First of all, despite of the sanctions and despite all of this economic pressure and logistical difficulties, Russia could keep its budget, and of course it could save the reserves. First of all, Russia didn't rush to spend the National Wealth Fund. This is exactly the fund where the income from the oil and gas purchases come. So Russia could save this fund, and right now it's about like 12 trillion rubles in this fund, which is mostly untouched. The second, what Russia did is keeping inflation down. Compared with the many other countries that faced very high inflation, for example, Europe saw double-digit inflation last year. The inflation in Russia was not very high. It was about 9, 8, and right now it's about 4%. Of course, the government pays a lot of attention to inflation right now, and central bank issued the statement that the inflation is accelerating. But anyhow, it is still in the level of 4%, which is quite good and very important for the economy. And of course, one of the major things that helped Russia to survive was the trade. Russia could find the access to import through the parallel import, for example, via different countries like Central Asia or Caucasian countries. And of course, Russia could find the way to export its oil and gas. There are new buyers. For example, India is one of the major buyers of Russian oil. Now Pakistan comes as one of the buyers of Russian oil as well. China has increased the supplies of Russian energy. So basically, the major picture of the budget, of the funding, and the trade hasn't been changed. This is what helped Russian economy to survive 2022.
As I understand it, the Russian economy is also surprisingly resilient in manufacturing what you need in Russia. And that's led to a demand for workers, right? Everybody's fully employed, and they need workers, lots of workers on demand. So your domestic production is higher than ever before. Is that a significant part? Is that a surprise to the Kremlin? Is that a surprise to the sanctions regime?
I think that yes. First of all, it's a really great achievement for the Russian economy. Previously, there was a very huge presence of foreign companies in the Russian market. And with the sanctions, when a lot of companies has had to decline their activity or, for example, leave the Russian market, the niches in the market became free. And a lot of Russian businessmen, small, medium business, finally found their way to the market. Right now, we have a lot of companies that are entering the food sector, textile sector, and many others are trying their possibilities to produce in many different other sectors as well, in industry, for example. Of course, this is really good thing for the economy when everything is produced inside of the country. But there are some problems that Russia is facing in this. For example, not all sectors are could achieve the import substitution. Some of the sectors are still very dependent on import, and especially high technological sectors. So the production depends on the storages, on the size of storages. And today I wrote, I read an article saying that the size of storages and number of storages in Russia has increased significantly. Well, it's quite understandable. Of course, another problem is that import is becoming more expensive. First of all, the Russian ruble is not playing great role for this, and the second, it's logistical issues. Before, Russia could buy the import goods directly. Right now, we need to find the way of parallel import. So, for example, at first bring into Armenia or Central Asia, and then it goes to Russia. So, of course, it's more expenses, it's more logistical costs, and so on. And, in fact, the third problem that Russia right now is facing is the labor market, for sure. We don't have so great unemployment. I would like to say that even Russia is facing the lack of labor force. And not only in the high technological sectors, but also, for example, in construction. It is happening also because of the economic issues and, for example, weak rubles. We know that there are a lot of migrants that are working in the service sector and, for example, construction. And because of the weak ruble, it's not very beneficial for them to work in Russia and send their remittances to their countries, for example. I'm speaking about the workers from Central Asia, from Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and so on. So Russia is facing the situation when the migrant flow is not very huge because of the ruble. Plus, the increase of the internal production requires more labor force. And this becomes a really significant problem. A lot of companies have already announced that they have a very high lack of labor force indeed.
Yes. One of the concerns in the U.S. economy is when you're at full employment or even very close to full employment, that empowers the workers to ask for wage increases, hikes, wage hikes, more money, or they go to a competitor. Is that something you observe in Russia, that the wages are rising as the demand is for labor?
It depends on sector. For example, construction sector indeed saw the increase of the salaries and wages. The IT sector shows very high salaries and wages for their workers as well. For example, so all the sectors that have the lack of the labor, they show this increase indeed.
And that is a concern for the future. The other thing about the energy prices, as you report right now, Russia's enjoying energy prices above the G7 price caps. Do I read that correctly? This is for crude and petroleum products.
Yes, indeed. And today it reached another level, $70 per Russian rubles. And I would like to remind that the price cap is $60 for G7. So indeed, this is exactly the amount that Russian budget is planning, because, you know, when the Kremlin is planning the budget, they put some oil price into their plan. And their plan for this year was exactly $70. So that is quite beneficial for the budget, for Russia, and for the market as well, and for the income that Russia is going to receive from export.
Also, we must mention the defense industry, because it's true in Europe and it's true here. Has that taken off? Was that a surprise?
Well, it's indeed taken off. The factories and the industrial production is working really hard, and the articles show us that the production has increased significantly. They are working 24 hours, 7 days a week right now. Of course, there is not much information published about how much they are producing because it's quite a secret area. But anyhow, yes, indeed, it has increased, and it is developing quite significantly. This was quite expected because Russia is continuing the military operation. And it requires more sophisticated equipment.
And one more detail before we talk about what can go wrong and why. Housing sector. In the U.S., our housing sector was through the roof before the Federal Reserve moved it last year, 2022. How is your housing sector? Are prices going up or rents going up?
Both. And, you know, the problem is didn't start right now because of the military operation. It's lasting for several years already, I think, since pandemic or even before pandemic. For example, the flat that the apartment that you bought about like 7 years ago now has the double price. And I'm speaking not only about Moscow. I noticed this in many other cities as well. So this is exactly what's happening in the Russian housing sector for a long time.
And there's no indication that it's going to back off, that the housing prices keep going. I understand. That was true here until the 11th hike. And then we saw some diminution. Although the reporting in these 24 hours is the consumer continues to spend. Do you see consumer spending strengthening?
Well, yes, they continue to spend, you know, because of the uncertainty in the finance. The uncertainty in the ruble, for example, and the banks area, the bank sector. A lot of people, they prefer to keep their money in housing and cars, and indeed the purchasing of cars and housing has increased. And not only in Russia, but also, for example, in Turkey. A lot of Russian people are buying their apartments in Turkey and many other countries as well.
I'm speaking to Ekaterina Zolotova of Geopolitical Future. She's in Moscow. We're talking about the Russian economy. A surprise in 22, but here we are in 23. So what can go wrong and why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.